brought to you by Penguin.
More Than I Love My Life by David Grossman. Translated by Jessica Cohen. Read for you by Gili Messer. Raphael was 15 years old when his mother died and put him out of her misery. Rain poured down on the mourners huddled under umbrellas in the small kibbutz cemetery. Tuvia, Raphael's father, sobbed bitterly. He had cared for his wife devotedly for years and now looked lost and bereft. Raphael, wearing shorts, stood apart from the others and pulled the hood of his sweatshirt over his eyes so that no one would know he wasn't crying. He thought, now that she's dead, she can see all the things I thought of her. That was in the winter of 1962. A year later, his father met Vera Novak, who had come to Israel from Yugoslavia, and they became a couple. Vera had arrived with her only daughter, Nina, a tall, fair-haired girl of 17, whose long face, which was pale and very beautiful, showed almost no expression. The boys in Raphael's class called Nina Sphinx. They would sneak behind her and mimic her gait, the way she hugged her body and stared ahead vacantly. When she once caught two kids imitating her, she simply pummeled them bloody. They'd never seen such fighting on the kibbutz. It was hard to believe how much ferocious strength she had in her thin arms and legs. Rumors started flying. They said that while her mother was a political prisoner in the gulag, little Nina had lived on the streets. "The streets," they said, with a meaningful look. They said that in Belgrade, she'd joined a gang of feral kids who kidnapped children for ransom. That's what they said. People say things. The fight, as well as other incidents and rumors, failed to pierce the fog in which Raphael lived after his mother's death. For months, he was in a self-induced coma. Twice a day, morning and evening, he took a powerful sleeping pill from his mother's medicine cabinet. He didn't even notice Nina when he occasionally ran into her around the kibbutz. But one evening, about 6 months after his mother died, he was taking a shortcut through the avocado orchard to the gymnasium when Nina came toward him. She walked with her head bowed, hugging herself as if everything around her was cold. Raphael stopped, tensing up for reasons he did not understand. Nina was in her own world and did not notice him. He saw the way she moved. That was his first impression, her quiet, sparing motion. The limpid, high forehead and a thin blue dress that fluttered halfway down her shins. The expression on his face when he recounted. Only when they got closer did Raphael see that she was crying, quiet, muffled sobs. And then she noticed him and stopped and curved inward. Their gazes entangled fleetingly and, one might sorrowfully add, inextricably. "The sky, the earth, the trees," Raphael told me. "I don't know. I felt like nature had passed out." Nina was the first to recover. She gave an angry puff and hurried away. He had time to glimpse her face, which had instantly shed all expression, and something inside him coursed toward her. He held out his hand after her. I can actually see him standing there with his hand out. And that is how he's remained, with the outstretched hand, for 45 years. But that day, in the orchard.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?